Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
God, would you put this word in our heart this morning? Would you help this word to come forward and be, you know, food for our spirit and food for our soul? Would you speak life to us, God? Would you show us how to invest ourselves the way you invest in us? Would you help us to pour our love on you the way you poured on us? Show us how to do it, God. Show us your glory, and we'll forever be changed. Father, we give you this word. We ask you to watch over it and perform it like you do. In Jesus' name. The topic of today is called glorification. If you missed the last couple, there's some incredible things that happen if you have the Christian faith. The Christian faith is the only religion where a king lays down his life for the people. And then he picks it up again. And he's the only one who could do that. If anyone ever speaks that they have risen from the dead and they're not Jesus, it's not true. He's the only one the only king that ever gave his life and then took his life back up in resurrection power, that we might have the same in this little bitty living space. That the Lord gives us phenomenal cosmic power, supernatural strength and power to overcome the ways of the world, to overcome darkness, to overcome sin and brokenness. And we can do it. They're choices that we make because we're already endowed with power. That's what we talked about a couple weeks ago. Our position is justification. You have the position of justification. When the Lord looks at you, you are justified. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean I can just do whatever I want and I have a stamp of get away, get out of jail free card? No. See, God's love is without condition, always. God loves sinners. If God didn't hear the prayers of sinners, no one could ever get saved. God loves gay people. God loves broken people. God loves people that are outside of themselves, out of their mind. God loves everyone. He loves you. He loves me. It's that sustaining factor that keeps us coming back for more, because everybody has an innate need on the inside to be loved. And God loves us, okay? Without conditions, no conditions on the love of God. But lean in for this part, because the promises of God are loaded with conditions. Loaded. There's so many conditions. If you trust me, if you obey me, if you follow, if you pick up your cross. Not I can do whatever I want because I'm justified and I'll still look for the promise, but that's what we've done. And especially in the culture we live in today, that is all a me culture. We have a me monster in our culture. What about me? What I want, what I think, and what I feel. That's your emotional, the emotional part of you. But you, friends, are not your own. You have been bought with a price. You have been bought with the price of blood. And not just blood. I mean, even soldiers can lay down their lives for us, which is miraculous and powerful and glorious, that someone would lay their life down for us, that we could live in the United States of America in freedom to do crazy things. We could burn our own flag here. It's not what it was meant for. Now, blood wasn't poured out for that. But you could do it because you live in the free world. And it's happened in Christianity where you think you can just live in the free world and be and do whatever you want outside of what God's word says and outside of what God says, what God has taught us. You know, people have come to me. I've had a cousin that I think she's pretty cool, and she's in a homosexual lifestyle. She got married, you know, so she has a wife. And some of her questions have been, you know, are you saying that God doesn't, you know, that God doesn't ordain my marriage, that God isn't for me? And they always want to get down to that piece of it. And I'm like, it's the wrong question. I'm not going to live outside of what God's will and God's word says on purpose. And when I do, then I miss out. I lose a little bit of my own peace and my own grace. Am I still justified if I know him and I talk to him? Yeah. Am I still going to go to heaven when I die? Yeah. I have a strong belief that people can be gay and get and saved. Because if you're gay and you get saved, your gayness doesn't fall off. But your focus turns to forgiveness and peace and love and acceptance in the beloved. And you change because you want to change because he loves you. It's not about the sin. Remember Jesus and the woman at the well? He didn't talk to her about, you know, what you got to do to get your life right with God. The first thing, he talked about her and her heart. You know, we have to be able to stretch and love people. I feel like this. I feel like I'm just kind of talking to you a little bit before I get into what we're going to say this morning. But, you know, it's like if evangelism doesn't come back to us, we're done. Evangelism has to come back to the United States, back to the Christian heart. And even when I say it, it's like I want to just be like, back, kingdom of darkness. Every foul cataract on every eye, come off in Jesus' name. Everything that's stopping up the hearing of the saints of God, come off in Jesus' name, that we can hear it. Every demonic attack that would stop us from talking, speaking, and living for the name above every name, Jesus, come down in the name of Jesus. I'm going to a wedding, people. I am the bride of Christ. I'm going to a wedding to marry the groom, Jesus. I don't know what the steps are between here and there, but I know that he will fortify me to make them and to take them. And I'll walk every step that I can, justified because of Jesus' work on the cross, right? He looks at me, he sees the blood of Jesus. He doesn't look at me and see all my error. He does look at my heart and he does weigh that. And then he sanctifies me, sets me apart on purpose, right? He sets me apart that I might fulfill his purpose. That's my process. Justification is my position. Sanctification is my process. And glorification comes someday, and that's my promise. And yours. Okay? And I'm not talking about eternal life like Ponce de Leon finding the fountain of youth and you drink it and your skin is youthful forever. I'm talking about a life, the essence of who you are on the inside of your three-part person there, your spirit, soul, and body. Body's decaying. It's getting older by the second. It doesn't matter how I try to pick this up, it still falls down. It is like it's coming to the age, right? There's nothing I can do. This body is meant to decay and go into the ground, but this part in here, man, I'm a child in there. I can run through a troop. I can leap over a wall. Don't let this knee fool you. I can take the devil out from right where I'm sitting. You know, it's like the Lord is in me and on me. My spirit, your spirit, it lives forever. And there's a day where we and our mortal bodies become immortal in his presence, and we'll forever be with the Lord. And that's our glorification. Okay? You with me? Somebody said, hallelujah. The old saints love this kind of teaching. Don't forget you're justified. And so then don't act like a little jerk. And remind yourself that you're saved. Remind your face when you go about public. Remind yourself, man, I'm bought with a price. I'm the salt and light of the earth. If I'm just light among everybody else who's light, I'm just another light bulb. If I'm light in darkness, I shine. Okay? Do you get that? Why does God put light as one of the metaphors for Christianity? We're supposed to walk in it. And we can't do it in our own accord. Somebody will try to walk in the flesh, you know. Just tell me what I got to do. I'll go out there. I'll be a light, this little light of mine. And it doesn't work like that either. Because there's still the place of coming to your glorification on this side of heaven where you understand that these things belong to you, that you have the title of being justified by the work of Jesus, that you have an ideal, you have a process to endure that is called sanctification, setting you apart for what you're called to do. Right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him would not perish, would not die, but inherit eternal life. It's not a fountain of youth, people. It's stepping over, taking your breath on this side. There's one of two ways that this can happen. You either take your last breath here and you breathe it out, and you breathe your first one in glory on the other side. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Okay, I'm going to read some stuff to you. Or it could come by a transformation of your body, this mortal being into an immortal being, in something we like to call the second coming of Christ or the rapture of the church. A phrase that is not in the Bible, but it is described there. You know the rapture of the church. You ever heard of that? Raise your hand if you ever heard of that before.
Yes.
Well, let me tell you what it is. The rapture of the church, that's when Jesus Christ, who said he would come back, was going up in the air, ascending in front of all of his disciples, and 120 people saw him, you know. He went up in the air and he said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And when I do, touch my toe on the Mount of Olives, you know, it's going to split. You're going to hear a trumpet sound and all the dead in Christ will rise first. And then everybody who's alive and remains will be caught together in the air and meet the Lord and will forever be with him. What? The best movies and the best shows and the best series of all time are written on these kinds of things that we're talking about right here. Because they're impossible, but they're supernatural. And they're like, our hero comes and he takes us back and he makes this his own. These are things I believe to the soul of my being. And I see it. I see it repeated in Marvel, you know, movies, and Iron Man giving his life for everybody. You know, it's like, that was a spoiler if you didn't see those, but all the stuff, it's like you can see all of it come back into play. Where does everything come from if not from the hand and the mind and the heart of God? The enemy cannot create anything new. God has already created everything. Okay, where am I at? So, you know, there's a destiny that's on you in the peace that revolves around your sanctification. I want to talk about this before I talk about glorification, but, you know, it's like your sanctified self sitting there, you little saint of God, you have calling on you. Ephesians 4 is something you should all just go take a look, take a little dive into. We're going to do that when we have a leaders meeting coming up soon. But Ephesians 4 says that sitting here in this church and in every church, that God has given us different callings, different bents, different giftings. Do you know what they are? Some people call it the fivefold ministry. And you think that means you have to be doing what I'm doing. But the word says that it's in the church, which means the giftings for being an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a shepherd or pastor or teacher are right here sitting on you right now. And it's important that you start to do a little dive into this kind of work and figure out who God's made you to be. It'll help you understand your brothers and sisters. It'll help you understand ministry. It'll help you understand yourself. So there's a little test you can take online. It's called the APEST, APEST. Look, there's just a little free bit for you this morning to study your own sanctification, your own calling, what has God called you to, and maybe help you walk it out. So for example, you know, if somebody like Christine, I used her for an example last week talking about sanctification. Like Christine is a doer. She's an administrator and she can run many, many things at the same time and her own business and everything that has to pertain to church, you know, things that we're going to do here. So she has a real administrator's gift, but she has the heart of a shepherd. She cares about you. She cares about people. And so everything she does is motivated by her care for people. So she can be an administrator but still have the bent and calling of a shepherd. Does that make sense? Now me, I have a prophetic bent. That's why sometimes people think I'm not very nice. I am nice, but my whole bent, I do care about you. But you know what I care about the most? I care that you see God. I care that you hear God and that you see him more than anything else that I care about. It's the prophetic bent. Am I a prophet? Do I get up, thus saith the Lord? Maybe not. I mean, I have done that and I could. When he tells me to, I will. But the bent is just to make sure that you see him because he can do everything that you need, right? Other people are going to have other bents. Evangelism, we have to awaken evangelism where people just want souls. We just want souls. And I mean, you say yes, but it's like, who are you inviting into this building? Who are you inviting to coffee? It's not even about this building because once this evangelism is awakened, every church starts to fill. Every place starts to have, you know, evangelism and revival type feeling, you know. But the thing is, souls getting saved. Who do you sit down with coffee with? Who do you call? Who do you make an impression? Who are you a light for? Does anybody know anybody who's lost? Anybody know any people who are not saved? Anybody? Just me? Yeah. Everybody. Okay. We say it like this around here sometimes. I don't hate anyone enough to not tell them what I know, that they would miss Jesus altogether and go to hell forever, that would be weighted on me. And you don't have to be like me. You know, I posted something on Facebook this week. I said, one day I probably won't bug you about all the Jesus stuff, but it's not today. And tomorrow's not looking good either, you know, because I'm not going to love you to hell. Right? Now we're talking in the church. I'm talking about when you're outside of here, talking to people that don't know the glorious King that you know. And you talk about him. And you do another invitation. And you lend your hand. Don't look at me like this is boring. It's not boring. So glorification being the promise. Okay, I'm going to start my message now. So after this life, it's a belief in the Christian faith. We step from mortality to immortality in one direction or another, depending on where you left your heart and your intention regarding God, regarding Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There's a lot of false gods. There's a lot of different gods. Jesus is the only one who ever said, I'm the only way. Everybody else just says, oh, all the roads, everybody, all religions come to God. Your God's my God, your God. And Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the only way. The only way is by repentance and understanding that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and that he bore your sins on a cross, and that he went into the grave and took back hell and death and all the keys to every kingdom that's fallen and gave them back to you. And now you have authority in the kingdom. Does that make sense, people? Y'all, sometimes you guys look at me like, okay. I don't expect you to do anything. I expect you to be who God's called you to be, right? It's about who you are. There's a scripture in Isaiah where God calls the earth his footstool. It's kind of interesting. So to me, if you think about heaven and the glory of it, if God made man in his image, and we all kind of look, we're in the shape or the form of God, made in his image, we kind of look like him a little bit. Do you think heaven would look like earth, except not grungy and corrupt and broken? But I mean, I think the earth is beautiful, but I have eyes that can see the creation. I look at the sunset in a way that I'm like, wow, God, thank you. You know, another painting, another work of art that you have strewn across the sky for my eyes to behold. I listen to water when it runs and bubbles and like creeks and fountains. And even if it's a man-made fountain and I hear that water, it's so life-giving to me. And I hear it like tinkle and sparkle. And I'm like, thank you, God, for water. I'm like that. I'm in touch with it. I figured it out. God has shown me a piece of his glory in creation. When I drive through the country or the county and I can see all the fields and all the grass, I think it's beautiful. You know, I look at how, if you drive out like 44, you drive down south, you can see like where they've cut out big pieces of rock, and it's just beautiful. Like this part of the country has that. All the parts of the country don't have that. But they have different things that are just astounding, and it's part of creation. And the Lord says that the earth is a footstool of his. Now, can you imagine? Do you have a chair like that at your house that you rest your feet on? That's what the earth is like to him. He's glorious. He's magnificent. And he's able to take you from this life into eternity, into glory. Glorification. Get it? Remember when Jesus showed himself to the disciples? Just a few. Peter, James, and John. And he was like, hey, guys, check this out. This is who I really am. You know, and they have a moment, and it's called the Transfiguration. The church is really good for having really big words to put on everything. Jesus didn't go, here's the Transfiguration, guys. He didn't do that. He just goes, hey, guys. And he showed him. And I think if we can pursue God in a way, what does it look like? What's the glory on the other side? He will show us. He's good like that. He's holy like that. Listen to this. The book of Romans says, those he foreknew, he also predestined. Well, there's a topic we could talk about the whole day, but let's just take it at face value today. The Lord predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. Have you been conformed to the image of his son yet? You're in a process. You're in a sanctification process justified by God, being transformed into the image of his God, into the image of God, his son. Okay, where is this at? Conformed to the image of his son so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And these, all of you who have been predestined, he also called with sanctification. And those he called, he also justified. And then those he justified, he also glorified. And then when Jesus starts talking about things like, you know, in my Father's house are many rooms. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it wasn't true, I would have told you. But I'm going there to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you can be also. And you're going to live there forever. Yeah, mom's at the end. Mom's getting closer to that than most of us, okay? And she's happy about that. That's great. I'll stick around a little bit, okay? But there's a home in heaven, and there's a glory that awaits the saints of God. It's beautiful. 1 Corinthians says this. Do you know this? Do you know this? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you. Just take a breath. Your body sitting there right now, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't check out on me. The Holy Spirit lives in you. It can be a moment where you go, wow, what am I doing with my life? What am I thinking? Where am I going? Where have I been all my life? The Holy Spirit is living in me, directing me, and showing me the path of righteousness. I'm being conformed into the image of his likeness. Will I let him do that? Will I become pliable? Will I become conformed to the image of his son? Yes, you will. Yes, I will. Do you not know that you're not your own? You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. We know that we're not our own. That's perfect. That's amazing. Here's a little bit more. You know, either you breathe, you live your life like a normal human, you live, you have your life, you die, okay, you go to heaven. Or you go in glory, in this glorification of your body, in the second coming, the rapture of the church. Listen to how it's described about that time when Jesus will come again. In the book of Matthew, it says, about that day, that hour, no one really knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. And I just wanted to say, this was written then, but Jesus is glorified now and in heaven now, okay? I think Jesus knows everything. I think he knows when he's coming. People like to say, oh, Jesus doesn't even know when he's coming. Well, that was before he ascended and he was talking. He goes, I don't even know. In the present time, I don't even know. But I would say now, you know, he's in heaven, he knows. He's him and the Father are one. Anyway, you can argue with me about it later. Verse 37, it says, for the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. In the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until that day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. And at that time, there will be two men in the field, and one will be taken and one will be left. And two women will be grinding at the mill, and one will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know the day or the hour in which the Lord is coming. One more. Thessalonians, the Lord himself will descend one day from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I just wanted to speak to us for a minute. Do you believe the word of God? Because, I mean, do you believe it like to your tiptoes? Like, what if this is true? What if it's real? And what if two are standing in the store together and one is gone and one is left? Or two are having dinner together and one, you know, knew all the goodness of God and the glory of God of repentance, but their friend didn't know. And the friend is gone and they're left. Left behind. And it'll be like the days of Noah. Everybody thinks Christians are nuts. You know, even we interact online and people will be like, everybody knows the Bible's not true. It's some archaic thing. Nobody believes in that anymore. It'll be like those days. You guys, it's like those days. It is like that right now. And that's not a fear. I'm not a fear-mongering preacher. I'm going to a wedding. I'm getting ready for it. I want to be with him. He loves me. I can't wait to be with him. There's a scripture here. Paul says in Philippians, I'm torn between the two things. Like, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But I'm here for you. And maybe you can get a glimpse of him, and maybe you'll come too. And maybe your spirit being enlightened, maybe you reach somebody else and you share the gospel of Christ with someone else. And maybe they come to know him too. And maybe by the time we're all caught up together in the clouds to meet him, there's a lot of us. And we didn't leave behind anyone. There's something I was talking to the Lord about. I'm like, how will I do this? How will I make it? How will I make it if the people I love don't make it? Obama has a saying, as long as we all make it. Got that from his mama. Yeah, as long as we all make it. I was talking to the Lord. I'm like, what do we do if they don't make it? And the Lord just said to me, you know, you won't know. You won't know. There's no tears there. There's no crying and there's no pain. And I was like, and I cried so hard at that response because I didn't like it. And I'm like, because I want to know everything. I'm a control freak. You know, that's how I live my life. But the Lord's like, you won't know. I will wipe away every tear from your eye and there will be no more death. Because all we can do, we're not responsible that someone makes the commitment to God. We're just responsible to feed them. Yeah. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father and I'll glorify your body. Do you love me? Feed them. Don't withhold your hand when you know something that's that good. I hope this is so convicting. I hope you leave here and go to your restaurant and tell the server, man, our pastor was on it today. And I just got to tell you, Jesus loves you. He's real. He's alive. He's coming. You're beautiful. He's for you. It's not hard. And some people will roll their eyes, but less and less is that happening. More and more people are like, thank you, and listening and entering the conversation. Beloved, be loved. We are now children of God, And what we will be has not yet been revealed. But we know that when He, Christ, appears, we'll be like Him. And we'll see Him as He is. And I'm convinced of this, that there's a glory on this side of heaven. And there's one thing, just one more point I want to make, and I won't keep here all day, but, you know, this thing about sitting down, I could talk a lot longer. You know, I'm not tired at all. But there's one more point. There's a glorification that happens on this side before you step over and your mortal body becomes immortal. On this side of heaven, there are moments of glory. And it's like, you know, we fall into temptation. The Bible says, let no man say when he's tempted that he's tempted of God. No man is tempted of God. And with the temptation, He gives us a way out. Every time. He's a good God. He's a good Father like that. And God doesn't get a big charge, and He doesn't revel in the fact that you struggle with sin and broken places. Yeah, did y'all know that you sin? I don't know. Sometimes we don't even think we sin. Nobody talks about it anymore. All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody. Level ground. Big sins, little sins, whatever it is. Fallen short of the glory of God. That's me. Pastor that actually needs the Lord. I need a Savior. Fallen short of the glory of God. And Lord, help me. Help me to say it right. I'm convinced that neither life or death, nor angels or principalities, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is Christ Jesus our Lord. The Lord doesn't revel when we have a sin and a temptation and a hard season. But you know what He does revel in? Every time you overcome. Every time you find the courage to say, back, kingdom of darkness, this is mine. God has given me this. Every time you fight in a warfare that is spiritual of nature, you overcome, the Lord digs that. He likes that. He's for you. He's not against you. He's cheering you on. He's hoping, you know, he's believing that you're gonna find Him. You know, when I die, I want to hear the words from Matthew. Well done, good and faithful servant. I just attended another funeral on Friday, and it was an older man. He's a grandpa, Shauna's grandpa. You guys know Shauna. Her family's in town this week. And everybody was talking about him like he was a good one. What a great one. He was an old guy, too. And lived his life just the best that he knew how before God. One of my brothers, Scott, he said, you know, he's the only father I really ever knew. He's the best father figure I've ever known. And I mean, Scott had two dads. So, you know, this guy steps up and is the father figure. That's somebody that you know walks into the pearly gates with a well done. Good job, Ray. Good and faithful servant. Well done. Don't you want to hear that in your life? I do too, and I'm moving toward that. When the perishable, your flesh that's decaying every second, has been clothed with imperishable, heavenly body, when mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come to pass. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Everybody's afraid to die. I'm not afraid to die. I don't want to die. I got a lot to do. I got grandkids I'm in love with. I got a lot of influence to make. I got a lot of stuff to do. We got to go to Target and Starbucks and talk about Jesus. Just have sleepovers and put diggy toes in my back. We got a lot to do. But I'm not afraid to. And when it's time, I want to look in the eyes that I've dreamt of. And they're His. And I want to see Him. And I want to wait for all my loved ones to join me on the other side. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, death, is your victory? Where is your sting? That's good stuff right there, you guys. Psalm 16, Lord, you've made known to me the path of life, and you fill me with the joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. You know, it's appointed a man once to die, and after that, the resurrection. All of your days are already numbered, and God knows the sum of them. Do you know that? Do you ever feel that? Like, there's a sense of eternity in our hearts that God put there, that we believe that there's a life after this death. And I feel real sorry for people that just believe there's this life and then nothing. It's so sad, you know, that you would think this is the best that there will ever be is this life. And then nothing. That's so depressing. This life and then the resurrection. I mean, Jesus had it all. He laid it all out. You know, and He's looking for us to find ways to overcome by His justification and His sanctification, not your own, okay? You don't have to go out there and do a bunch of works. There's nothing you can do to get you there. It's by his hand only. And he says it like this: thanks be to God. It's in Corinthians. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Through us, he diffuses the fragrance of this knowledge everywhere that we go. What if we walk around and we're known for being loving? What if our church is known that, man, those people will love you there? They'll love you in the middle of it, and they'll love you through it, and they'll speak truth to you because they love you. What about that? What if we're known for a church that actually loves God? Do you love God? Do you know how to love God? Are you too distracted to love God? I pray that the justification process becomes something that isn't boring or routine, that you start to understand. And you got a stamp on you. You've got a badge of authority on you. I'm justified. So every time the liar, Satan, starts mouthing off to you, you can put him in his place under the justified badge that you carried and the sanctification process that you're walking out, understanding that there's a promise of glorification to those who believe. You guys can stand up. Stand up with me. I'll stand up too. I'll try to do that with some grace. I believe that Jesus is coming. I believe there are things on the horizon and things happening in the world that have never happened before. And I can see it like I haven't ever seen it before. I can see the path. And it's kind of cool not to have fear about that. And it's kind of awesome not to be caught up so much in this world that I can't see that one, because I can. There's a scripture I wanted to end with. It's in the book of Revelation. He who testifies, you know, that the Lamb was able to open the scroll and see your name written there in blood in the Lamb's book of life. He who testifies and affirms these things says, yes, I'm coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Right? Is that your prayer? Does that make you feel afraid, or does it make you feel excited? Supernatural things are real. And the earth and the world and the culture is longing for it. That's why they'll run to a horoscope or a psychic or a medium or something like that. Tell me the future. I'll tell you the future. If your hope is in the Lord, you can count on the fact that as you're walking your sanctification process, you have glorification right ahead of you. Saints. I think everybody in here is born again, is saved, it looks like. So I'm going to pray this over us. I'm going to pray that evangelism would take a rise in your heart, that you would begin to investigate your sanctification process and how God has wired you, that it will make sense to you, the way you function and how he's called you to function. I'm just going to pray for the coming of the Lord to be swift and right on time, and that we exit this like a bride, right? Right?
Yeah.
A bride is excited and beautiful and adorned and clean. Clean. Father, would you have your way in this place? Father, would you make this word become alive to us? Would you set our hearts to understand that evangelism is not optional? It's a command of the Lord to go and make disciples. Help us to speak the truth boldly in love in every direction that we go today, unafraid of men or their faces, because the word of the Lord is in our mouths. Father, I pray just that we understand that you've set us apart for some kind of kingdom work. And even though our calling might be something, our assignment can shift and move all the time. So, Father, show us how to walk in that anointing and calling and the assignment that you've given us for right now. We belong to you. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. And even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Set your bride on fire here, Father. Help us to understand the enthusiasm of being next to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, guys. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.